Hey, what's going on, grandkids? It's the Stunt Granny Audio with Eric and Kevin this time around. Kevin, what's happening, man?
Oh, well, I just came back from a fine, fine performance in softball. I went a whopping 4-for-4, so it was a nice night. Unfortunately,
Holy
we lost.
Well, how did? Okay, so you were 4-for-4, yet the rest of the team couldn't carry their weight, or what's the deal there?
Bad defense today was the problem. Because we could have gotten out of one inning without them scoring any runs, and they scored three, and I think we ended up losing 8-11. But
Oh,
if
crap.
nothing else, we would have gone into extra innings.
Yeah, true. Were you the most sober person out there at 4-for-4?
No, you know what? It's entirely disheartening that most of the softball around here is done with sobriety. And there are some people, like these jackasses we played about 2-3 weeks ago, that think that they're involved in a professional sport.
I think a lot of people, when they get involved in softball, feel that way. There's always one team in every league that takes it way too fucking seriously. Or the inverse is correct, and there's always one team that gets put in a league that's, like, so far out of their league it's embarrassing.
Oh God, yeah. No, I had my soccer team last year. We played outdoors, and it was they thought it was supposed to be a beginner's league, but it was just an open league.
Yeah.
And I am not afraid to admit the fact this one woman whooped my ass. She played collegiately for Florida.
Okay.
On scholarship.
Oh my God.
She just fucking ran circles around me. I'm like, fuck off. No, we are in way too deep here.
Oh, my God. Dusty will appreciate this. It's like that episode of The Cosby Show where Cliff and a bunch of other old men who used to play basketball in college, they played this, like, charity. It's either a charity game or just some pickup game that gets, I don't know, broadcast. I don't remember exactly, but it ends up being against a team of women. It's either that or they're running this track meet, and it's like four of them doing a relay, like a 4x1 or a 4x2 or something, and they're up against a bunch of women, and one of the women, like, squeezes Cliff on the butt as she's running past him, totally throws him off. But it's like all Olympic runners, you know, against Heathcliff,
gotcha.
Combustible Huxtable. Yeah.
The track thing would make sense. I think, didn't he talk about track a lot on this show?
Yeah, he did.
If memory serves.
Yeah, his character was a track runner at Hillman College.
Yep.
Heathcliff Combustible Huxtable and his arch rival, whatever his name was, Tailwind Turner. I guarantee you Dusty, as soon as he listens to this, is going to post a comment at the bottom of the audio telling me what Tailwind Turner's first name was.
Yeah, I am definitely not that. I know that I watched. I guarantee it, but I could not tell you anybody's name. I don't even know if I. It was Theo. Was the son?
Yep. No problem. Yep,
Rudy was the youngest one. I don't know what Lisa Bonet's name was even like that. Uh-huh. I mean, she even got the spinoff show.
Yeah, Denise. Yeah, she got A Different World
Denise.
At Hillman. Was it at Hillman? I think it was set at Hillman College. Yep. Yeah, but Rudy, though, if for those of you out there who haven't seen Rudy in the last couple of years, she is a smoke dog. Oh, my God. She needs to find a way to get herself into Maxim or FHM or something like that, because she's frigging hot right now. Even for, like, 32 or whatever she is. She should be hot for 22.
She's an old fart.
Yeah, exactly. I'm about to be an old fart, so... So there you go. Oh my goodness. I don't know. We talked about real athletics in our real lives. Well, kinda, I guess. I was gonna say I haven't done anything athletic in ages. I actually rode a bike last weekend for the first time in about 16 years. It was borderline embarrassing.
Well, and that does kind of happen too when you don't, like, I haven't had a bike in God knows how long either. I've kind of done a little. I do some biking at the gym just to mix up my cardio, but it's a different ball game when you're out actually doing that shit.
Oh, totally different animal. Well, if you're on an exercise bike or a spin bike at the gym and you lift an arm up or a hand up off the handlebars, you're fine. Whereas me, 10 minutes into my bike, after not having bikes since I was about 15 years old, tried to lift a hand off the handlebars and almost beefed it. I need to probably buy a helmet, elbow pads, a fucking life jacket, a goddamn harness, something or other, because it was bad. I think I rode for about an hour, and the first 15 minutes were fucking comical. It was like watching Keystone Cops chase after a robber. Should have been ashamed of myself. Yeah. So anyway, and I actually ended up talking myself out. Well, I tried to talk Carly into doing this ride run. That's like this bike ride slash run around the lake in the town where I went to college, and it's a 13-mile path. It would be 7 in the morning this coming Sunday of the 4th of July weekend. And then I told her how poorly I did at biking, and she was like, yeah, I don't want to do this with you anymore. So she ended up finding another friend who actually lives up there to do this ride run with her. So I'm like, oh, sweet, I get to stand on the sidelines at 7 in the morning and cheer you on. Maybe I'll make like a softball player and just get drunk.
Yeah, you really should. That does not sound like any fun.
Not to anybody. Oh, crap. Well, I don't know. Should we talk about some pro wrestling now?
Yeah, because eventually by the time this is over, I might actually pull up a Raw report.
Nice.
Or I, you know, might actually get a new computer that fucking works.
Hey, there you go. Well,
yeah.
Thankfully, this wasn't the most, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Hold on a minute. Boy, words are escaping me now. Kind of like my ability to ride a bike.
It was a very talk-heavy, like, even with the WWE universe,
yeah.
To me, it was
yeah.
an extremely talk-heavy show.
Yeah, it pretty much took until the last match, which is about 15 or 20 minutes, for there to even be any semblance of wrestling worth a shit on this show.
Yeah, because I had just mentioned my friend that I had booted out of here just to record this thing who was babbling incessantly. He actually watched it with me last night after we went out and got a little buzz on.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, he's like, do they ever wrestle?
That's a very good
so,
point.
So, like, yeah, so for those of us that are not internet fans and whatnot, it is always amusing to have somebody like that. to have to fill them in. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of even a little heavy for them, but it is there is significantly less wrestling than there used to be.
Yeah, no doubt. This isn't like every once in a while I think back to Monday Nitro where they'd come back from a commercial break and the first thing you'd see is like Lightning Foot Jerry Flynn or Norman Smiley or somebody like that walking down the aisle. And then you'd see their opponent like Goldberg or, I don't know, Lex Luger or something like that come down the aisle. They would wrestle a match for the entire segment, and in the meantime, Tony Schiavone's prattling on about whatever angle's happening. But yeah, even like at the beginning of the Nitro era, you know, most of the way through Nitro, there was a hell of a lot more wrestling, even like 12 years ago, when your friend might have remembered, or I don't know if he goes back to the, like, Hulk Hogan and Superstars and Saturday Night's Main Event days. But yeah,
yeah,
like
that
now,
was the other thing he was fascinated with. Like, he loved all of the stars that he remembered. Like, he's like, that's not DiBiase's son, is it? And I'm like, yeah, it is.
That's funny.
Had to explain the Hart Dynasty, the Usos. He's like, oh, yeah, I remember those guys, too. Like, he remembered all that crap, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I have a
there's a big gap in his knowledge.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, I have a coworker who, he's big into metal and, like, radio rock, too, and stuff, and he's a big Rob Zombie fan. And he doesn't follow wrestling anymore, but on rare occasion he'll catch it. He knows that I watch it, and he saw that Rob Zombie was going to be the guest host, so he made sure to tune in last night. And he comes to work today, and he was like, "Hey, who are those seven assholes that were beating up Ricky Steamboat last night?" So we'll get to it more in depth later. But apparently that angle has some teeth, and that what they did last night worked. If an old school fan / not really all that casual fan these days was concerned about the welfare of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I don't know though. The show opened with I wanted to say John Cena. Technically, it opened with Sheamus in the ring. Cut a good promo, I thought, about how much he hates John Cena. What do you think of Sheamus's promo at the beginning of the show?
That was pretty solid from what I remember. Because that was another. The whole night I was kind of informing him of stuff, but he is used to Sheamus a little bit. So I might have missed, the beginning of the promo, a skosh.
Okay.
But, I don't remember there being anything. He didn't have that much to say, honestly. He wasn't on the mic. Man, I'm having problems now, too. Is it contagious across the phone?
I must be. I don't know. Long distance mouth diarrhea. I don't know.
he just didn't have that much to say before Cena came down, honestly. It was good.
Yeah.
But, just like anything, a great match needs to have a good, a decent length of time. A great promo to me still kind of needs some semblance of time, and he didn't really get that.
True. They had a lot to squeeze into this opening segment. I will say that I thought it was cool that Sheamus told John Cena that he needed to get to the back of the queue. I love the fact that, this new generation of fans, they're going to come up like I did. I think that, a small chunk of my vocabulary came from watching professional wrestling. I learned what the word ambidextrous meant from watching professional wrestling and other words that I can't think of off the top of my head, because today is apparently not a good word day for me. But if anybody could whittle their way through Sheamus's accent and what little of a promo he cut, he said things like back of the queue and things like that. And I'm like, that's kind of cool that even if I don't know what they're scripting for him, but there's no way that they scripted that. Brian Gewirtz isn't sitting around thinking of European ways of saying American things. I will say, though, that the points that he made, though, I mean, he squeezed in the Champ is Here reference, which is kind of awesome. And he just talked about all the things he hates about John Cena, which is all the things that everybody says they hate about John Cena, the orange T-shirts and the sayings. And then he mentioned the human jar of mayonnaise, which even made me cringe. And then I cringed again when John Cena actually came to the ring and cut his promo. Before I go off onto a rant about John Cena's promo, I want to get your opinion of it.
It's his standard stuff. The whole jar of mayonnaise thing, I could really use it past. There's actually one of the cracks that I did kind of like from him, and I can't remember what the hell it was.
Yeah, he said he called him a block of cream cheese, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of reading through it here right now.
I just feel like there are different ways of saying that he's pale. There are different things that he can be compared to. There are different ways of saying it. It's like mayonnaise is such a laborious word to use. It's not as funny as it sounds in his head, as far as I'm concerned. I know it's crude, but a buddy of mine said that another buddy of ours was as white as Michael Jackson's ghost. Okay, that's funny.
And PG.
And PG, yeah, and timely too. Okay, and here's my quick, I'll try to make it quick. I was thinking about this earlier, trying to synthesize my thoughts. We bitch about John Cena's promos all the time. He's either in preacher man mode or he's in goofball mode. When he tries to just be serious, like, Batista kicked me in the head, Randy Orton kicked me in the head, those are okay, but they're borderline lame. But I swear, if he ever had a grasp of the tone of his promos in comparison to the angle that's happening at the time, if he ever had that grasp, he has completely lost it. And I say that because they're in the middle of this heavy-ass angle where these invaders are coming in and they're beating the shit out of anybody they can get their hands on, A. And B, it was just a few weeks ago after John Cena won the belt, when he said, anybody gonna take this belt off me? They're gonna have to break my fucking neck! They're gonna have to kill me! And they're gonna have to bring hell to earth! And all this bullshit. And he just got beat 2 weeks ago for the belt. In fucking no time flat. And now what's he doing? He's standing in the ring with the guy who won the belt from him. He's fucking joking about candy pants at Gmail. He's joking about a jar of mayonnaise. He's asking the guy for help. He's fucking clowning around out there like an idiot during the serious angle, and it does not fit the tone of what's going on at all.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought of it in those terms. Like, because I don't mind the Preacher Man promos. It's fine by me. Those ones. But yeah, maybe that was like I just hadn't thought of it that way. It's just like, seriously, why are you? Well, A, I don't even know why you would ask Sheamus for help. Honestly, like even trying to convince him that he might be in trouble. They haven't gone after him. Like, no one's run after him when he's left the ringside both times. And to your point, Sheamus did not ever beat John Cena, really.
Well, true. He's the guy who has the belt, though, after Cena won it. And they did. When he won the belt, he stood at the top of the ramp, and then the NXT guys ran after him, and he took off like a friggin' spray paint.
They did that time. Last week, they did not really chase after him at all when he bounced out through the crowd.
No. I will say, of all of John Cena's style of promos, the Preacher Man, the Serious Man, and the Clown, the Preacher Man's definitely the best one of the three. But last night, the general manager comes on and says, you can't do this, and these people can't do that, and John Cena can't do this. And he throws his hat down and he talks about monkey fudging bologna sandwich and the internet and World of Warcraft. I'm like, you're a fucking dork, and it shows. Every fucking time you say stuff like that, it's as bad as poop jokes when you try to make Warcraft jokes and candypants@gmail.com. That shit does not fly. I know Hulk Hogan said stupid things back in his day, but you wouldn't catch him dead making a World of Warcraft reference in a promo, in the ring, with the champion to open the show. It just never happened.
Well, yes, because World of Warcraft wasn't around, but no, he would not have made a Dungeons and Dragons reference.
He wouldn't have made a Super Mario reference either.
Or a King Kong.
Donkey Kong, yeah. Watch out for the barrels, dude! No, I don't know. I didn't like it. It made me cringe multiple times. And thankfully, it was cut off by, I think, a commercial.
It was cut off by, to me, what was fairly amusing. And maybe that's why I forgot about it. Michael Cole just being a complete and utter douchebag, especially now that he has his own podium for the GM announcements, and
right.
He has to put on those fucking ridiculous-ass glasses. I'm like, oh, I mean, they really, to me, they need to make him an ass clown on Raw now. Like, there's no way around it. Like, just make the guy a dickhead. Like, I was talking to Jared today, and he was saying, he goes, your lead announcer shouldn't be a dickhead. I was like, well, I'm not going to disagree with it, but they decided to go that route for whatever reason. And so, like, they can't change Jerry Lawler into that guy now, nor do I think they ever could.
Right.
There are enough people that already, even the average fan, dislikes Michael Cole because he's a goddamn idiot.
Yeah, a total tool shed, and it looks like they're starting to go full-blown with it. Yeah, he's getting that, like, Vicky Guerrero gets really good heat. I don't know if Michael Cole is getting that heat yet, but he's starting to get that reaction when he gets up to the podium and says, "May I have your attention, please?" It's an obvious takeoff of Vicky Guerrero's excuse me line. And it's working. The crowd's reacting the way they want them to, which is loud booing. I guess if it pays off in the end with Michael Cole doing something beyond being the straight play-by-play announcer, then that's even better. But otherwise, probably
right.
To Jeremy's point, what you're doing is basically taking your straight man play-by-play guy, who's supposed to be the voice of your flagship TV show, and you're making him look like a big shithead. He was doing a good job of that himself over the last 12 years, basically, and no one took him seriously anyway. Now, from a storyline perspective, you're telling fans, don't take him seriously, he's an idiot. That's
I mean, I, I, I definitely didn't disagree with his assessment, but they kind of, it's one of those, they kind of painted themselves into a corner with it. It's just like, why wasn't Josh Matthews the schmuck,
True.
on
Yeah.
NXT? Like, why did he not make fun of him? Like, oh, I had to work hard and tough enough or something like that, and
Sure.
then I couldn't even make it. Like, I'm as small as Brian Dan or Daniel Bryan. Fuck him. Like, they wouldn't let me in the ring. I was just, whatever. He could have made shit up. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about it. But no, they went that route. So it's kind of like, well, that's what you wanted, I guess. Doesn't
Yeah,
make
that's
any
what
sense to me, but
but yeah, that's what we have to work with, I guess. Like everything, we'll do a wait and see sort of feel out process and see if this leads anywhere. If it doesn't, then WWE kind of just cut their nose off, and if it does, then so be it. Let's see, Hart Dynasty, Natalia. Let's see, we're scheduled to face the Usos and Tamina, and then the Usos attack the three of them before the bell. Left them lying.
Oh.
Are you what? How do you feel about this continuing storyline? Good, bad?
It's whatever. Like they don't the tag team division, they need to put the tag team division somewhere. Like, and preferably probably just on SmackDown. Like, there's no reason they have why don't you just load that up with the cruiserweights and the tag teams? Like, you don't give a shit about it anyway. To me, there's nothing to care about the Usos still. Like,
Yeah,
they
they
wrestled
cut their one
once
of the
on Superstars, I think. And it's just like, okay, and they just keep on attacking these guys, and it's just like, whatever, it's still the Hart Dynasty who had like all of what, 2, 3 weeks of build up before because even Bret Hart's like, no, you got to earn your way to this, and they
Right.
didn't like earn their way to anything before the Usos attacked them, so it's kind of like, okay, great, you kind of won a fluky win because Big Show flipped out on his partner and
Right.
or
Yeah.
whatever happened exactly in that situation. I can't remember. Like they didn't get any traction. The Hart Dynasty didn't get any traction. So like trying to have another team get traction off of them
Right.
is
Yeah, it's
asinine at best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the WWE tag team ladder is more like a step stool. There's literally like nowhere to go. You have the Dude Busters on SmackDown, Vance Archer and Lance fucking what are their names? Curt Hawkins and Vance Archer also on SmackDown. So there's two heel tag teams. You got the
Yeah,
Usos on Raw.
and it seems like they've I don't know if it's gonna happen, but MVP and Christian have wrestled against Hawkins and Ryder for 2 consecutive weeks. Hawkins and Ryder, and whatever, Hawkins and Archer. Fuck off, they're the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see that makeshift team. I mean, you have to get past the Harts and Usos first in order for the MVP Christian babyface tag team to make sense. And I really just think they're doing something to tide them over and to keep, giving them face time while the Matt Hardy, Drew McIntyre thing plays out, which is actually an interesting story that we'll get to here in a bit. Yeah. You kind of have to put all the tag teams on. You can't spread this few tag teams out this thin because you're going to end up with the same shit every week, the same attacks by the Usos. It was okay the first time, and it was even okay the second time. Now I think we're on the third attack where they've left all three of them lying or Natalya lying or whatever.
Yeah.
They're starting to tread water. Hart Dynasty has never said anything of substance that. A month ago, I was like, oh, great, I'm excited for this, and now I'm just really not. So, yeah, I guess there's a little bit of rebuilding to do here.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that the main focus, which has been for the most part a complete and utter joke, was and last night were the women, and it's just like, whatever, the women's division blows. Like,
Yeah.
I don't care. It stinks. We had what, a 2-minute match with in a tag team or something like that. later in the show, it's like, okay, like, why should I care if Tamina is taking out Natalya, who has, what, wrestled maybe all of once on Raw?
Yeah, I think so.
Since they came over. So, like, yeah, she's another one. Like, if you're going to make her a focal point, at least have her go up against, Jillian Hall. Fuck it. She loses to everybody. Who cares? Have her beat Jillian Hall in a 2-minute match on Raw the week before. And you're like, oh, okay. She's kind of important. She's, she just won her last match. Like, even though it's going to be one whole match.
Right. Yeah.
So, hard to care about everybody.
It is. It is, especially the way they're doing things. It'd be easier to care if they would have done something different this week. Again, we've seen multiple attacks multiple times. Why not say, Tyson Kidd, I don't know. I don't know who we would have even gotten a hold of with this anonymous general manager thing. Let's say, before Brett left or before McMahon got attacked or something like that. I don't fucking know. Tyson Kidd challenged one of the Usos to a match, and then they have a wrestling match, and then they get left lying. I don't know. Something. A match just to get them on TV, in the ring, wrestling, whatever. I don't care. It's just more of the same.
No.
So I told Jeremy earlier today that I'm ready for this Hart Dynasty versus Usos match, mostly because I'm ready for this feud to just get to the next step, just get to the point. Like, you can't connect A to B when you just start circling the letter A constantly.
Yeah, the whole singles match thing, that's another thing. Like, that's just kind of weird. Like, they almost always do that in whatever the tag team match is, that they're building up. But, and that kind of, to me, falls back to the problem that I liked, I changed my mind finally about the whole super tag team thing, which is why a Christian and MVP could be useful. Like, they could have them bounce between shows, but, like, has the Hart Dynasty even showed up on SmackDown? I don't even think they've been to SmackDown at all. Like, they're the champs. And, like, it's gotten to the point where they're not even bouncing between the two brands.
It's true. Since they won the belt, I don't think they've been on SmackDown once.
Yeah, so just another thing that is not helping them out at all. Have them beat the Dude Busters on SmackDown. Have them beat the Dude Busters on Superstars. I don't care. Something.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. Give us something. Give them something, which in turn gives us something.
Yep.
Let's see. All right. Josh Matthews interviews R-Truth backstage. He says, don't fire Nexus. Let them stay in the WWE zoo because he is the zookeeper. I did actually, I still don't have cable. I watched this online, and my feed went out during the interview, so I can't speak directly to the interview. But I don't know. R-Truth isn't really like a mouthpiece per se, but they let him talk, and they had him talk about the angle. What do you think about R-Truth, speaking up for the cause?
You know what? I was so uninterested in even seeing that because I think there was a replay right before that.
Uh-huh.
I just went straight through it. But he is kind of a decent guy to have in there. Like, he needs to mention more often that one of his guys are in that group. Like, the guy that he helped train is in that group. Like, it could be more of a personal issue with him. Just add a little bit to the promo and go, hey, I want to get my hands on a Tunga because he was an ass the whole time. He was my pupil, and he's being an even bigger ass right now, so I'm ready to whoop his ass. And then I'll go after everybody else in the group or something. Like, single him out so that, if you're going to – you're not always going to use that group as a group of seven, and you're going to make some guys bigger stars than others. And even if I don't think Otunga can go in the ring that well now, you'd think he might be able to pick it up. So, have R-Truth single him out.
Sure.
And then you get more of a person out of it rather than this weird Nexus group.
Yeah, exactly. It is to Otunga's benefit, and it would be to everybody else's benefit. That's a really good idea. Kind of the same along the lines of my thought of Tyson Kidd challenging one of the Usos because maybe the other one gets on commentary and we get to learn more about Jimmy than we know about Jay or something like that. Who knows? But anything to give some personality. It's still a good angle, but at some point, it's they're bordering on treading water also. I know they get chances to talk, and, it's a few seconds at a time. Pretty soon we're going to have to get away from the gang mentality every single time we see them. So, yeah, it is strange that, I mean, they, other than CM Punk, the first time they came out to attack people, I don't recall them ever going after anybody who trained them or mentored them as part of NXT, which is really strange because you'd think that'd be the first thing they would do. Like, Skip Sheffield would go bonkers all over William Regal or something like that. But anyway,
right.
I don't know. I agree with you, though. That's actually a really good idea. And, you know, doing that in some fashion could lead to maybe that's a Survivor Series match come November. Maybe that's a set of pay-per-view matches, the rookies versus their mentors, once these guys get a little more established. Oh, one other thing I was going to mention about this was, so the Usos and Tamina leave the Hart Dynasty and Natalya lying in the ring in a pool, their own mess. Somber moment for a second. What's the next thing you see? Goofy Josh Matthews standing backstage smiling his fucking 1,000-watt smile. It's like, I know you're about to interview a baby face, but you got to work on your transitions there a little bit. Don't get me wrong, I like Josh Matthews, but that was just a little bit of a, that was a silly moment right there that I noticed.
Speaking of silly timing.
Well, speaking of silly moments, though, Vladimir Kozlov beats Santino Marella. Bunch of comedy. William Regal comes out, congratulates Kozlov, attacks Santino. Kozlov, who was on his way to the back, but was earlier giggling and laughing at how funny Santino was, comes back to save Santino. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this burgeoning angle? I know they've been working on it on and off for the last couple of months.
Yeah. It's another tag team. They seem just desperate to keep Kozlov on TV. Like, they are trying everything under the sun to keep him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Santino's not going to do anything as a singles wrestler. He's still popular.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be helping out Kozlov's popularity, which is impressive. So why not throw them in a tag team? You know,
yeah.
Have them, you know, there are so many guys that just randomly aren't doing much that even if they end up being jobbers for the most part in the tag team division, have them be in the tag team division, whatever. Have Santino, does it matter? It would matter much more if Santino took a loss
mm-hmm.
against Usos.
Right.
Than if he takes one against Kozlov like he did this week.
Right.
You know, that helps out two people. Well, that helps out one person and just reinforces the fact that Santino can't wrestle.
Right. Well, 2 points on that. One, Santino has always been at his best working with someone else, whether it was with Carlito or Maria or Beth Phoenix. So, yeah, putting him with Vladimir is fine with me, especially if they do this TV show, sitcom thing that they've been threatening to do for a while. I'm all for it. The other thing, I can see people arguing the point, like you said, if you're not doing something with two guys, put them in a tag team. And I can, you know, people are going to argue then, well, it just looks like a makeshift team or it makes them look like a couple of jobbers with nothing better to do. You know what, though? You never know what you'll get. Maybe something will stick. Maybe Lance Vance Archer and what the fuck's the other guy's name? Kurt Hawkins. Maybe that'll end up taking off. You know, maybe it was the best thing for Paul London and Brian Kendrick to team up. They ended up winning the belts, which I know really means nothing in the long run. But there were a couple of basically jobbers that WWE had nothing to do with, and you know, we loved them for the year that they were a tag team. So anybody who argues that it should not be done just as a blanket statement, don't do something like that. You know, be patient. You never know what could happen. You might strike comedy gold with Santino and Vladimir Kozlov as a tag team.
Yeah, but no, I don't think there's any reason not to put those two, you know, together.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to draw any money individually. I love Santino to death, but he's not a moneymaker these days. So,
yep.
You know. And Vladimir, the thing is, if they have so much faith in Vladimir that they put him on TV all this time, yet he's still like this drab Eastern Bloc, Soviet Union, fucking 1987, fucking less charisma than Ivan Drago character. There's obviously something about him they like. Why don't they tweak his character? And maybe they're going to with this comedy act. tweak your character so it's something we like, too. You know, I've heard multiple times that Brad Armstrong was a huge cut-up backstage. Everyone thought he was the funniest guy, and he comes out to the ring, and he's as fucking white as bread. Dean Malenko, hilarious. Everyone backstage loved him, always telling jokes and stories and blah, blah, blah. And there was a reason he was a vanilla midget, according to Hulk Hogan. You know, take a guy like Vladimir Kozlov with no tangible qualities, apparently. If you like him that goddamn much, give him a character that we'll like, too. You know, that's what they did with Santino. He came out there as this no-wrestling fucking piece of shit. They forced the Intercontinental belt on him. He got booed out of the arena everywhere he went. And then they made him this comedy wrestler because he's a really fucking funny guy, and now we all love him. So I'm hoping that's what this is the beginning of.
Yeah, no, that would certainly be nice to get something out of Kozlov. I mean, if I'm going to have to watch him on the TV, he may as well be entertaining or something.
Yep.
And what, is Kozlov supposed to be funny backstage?
I guess, yeah. That, and he has personality, and I guess he and Santino are really good friends from back in their Ohio Valley days.
That is kind of hilarious that none of that translates.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that Dean Malenko was actually so plain that it was actually amusing how plain he was.
Right, yeah. It's true. He was the Iceman, that's for sure. And definitely not the man of 1,000 facial features. Speaking of somebody who gets way too much fucking TV time for what he's worth, though, Ranjan Singh ditched the great Khali last night during an interview segment. What'd you make of that?
Next.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fuck that guy and Khali, whatever. If Khali gets beaten down, then he gets beaten down and he finally gets to take his vacation back home. And maybe if he ever comes back, we don't have to deal with Ranjan Singh and his stupid sideburns anymore.
Enough to care about with that one at all.
No, there's not. Rob Zombie, guest host of Monday Night Raw, was around for one whole segment. And he managed to accomplish two things. He announced the entrance into the Money in the Bank ladder match for Raw. And he also had a little conversation with Edge. I don't know how much of Edge's conversation was pre-taped, but we'll talk about that in a second. I want to get your opinions of the 8 guys who are involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And they are Randy Orton, The Miz, R-Truth, Chris Jericho, Evan Bourne, Ted DiBiase, John Morrison, and Edge. As a whole, what do you think of them? And I don't know if you have any front runners or dark horses or anything like that.
Well, I do like the fact that for the most part, outside of Orton,
mm-hmm.
They're really kind of guys that haven't held the belt.
Jericho and Edge. But otherwise, you got the majority of the guys in this match are still kind of up and coming types.
Yeah, 5 out of the 8 haven't won the belt, which is nice. And, the only thing that I worry about this is that they did specify that it's only for the Raw contestant can only take on the Raw champion and the SmackDown winner can only. Okay, so that does kind of, it's nice to have a little bit of a differentiation between the one at WrestleMania.
Right.
And the pay-per-views, like, that's at least subtle enough. It's like, oh, okay, it's maybe it's not quite as valuable, so you can have a couple of them.
Sure.
But, good Lord, there is a whole lot of talent in that ring that should be able to pull a whole lot of fun stuff off.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a more top-heavy, top-tier, I guess, headliner-heavy Money in the Bank than you'll get at WrestleMania. Because obviously they use their main eventers in main event headline matches at WrestleMania. This is why we're getting 3 former world champions in this match.
Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't really thought about, whether there's a front runner or not, because they don't seem to be, everybody's a good candidate, but you've almost got to have, unless they're thinking long term, which, mm-hmm. Is possible. With Sheamus having the belt, you almost need to have a good guy win it in a way. Although I guess a heel could really cash it in on a heel if he wanted to, after a grueling match.
Sure.
But you know, it seems to add a little bit of heat or more cheer if it's the opposite alliance. And I don't know. I don't see Cena. I would guess Cena and Sheamus is just going to be. Did they actually announce that match?
Yes, yeah, steel cage match for Money in the Bank. Yep.
Oh shit! Yeah, I saw the fucking steel cage coming down.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't see Sheamus coughing up the belt. Like, there's no reason to. Like, the guy's good in the ring and he's good on the mic. So why fucking argue with a good thing?
Yeah, and if Wade Barrett is able to come back to the United States, you know, maybe he finds his way into the cage. Maybe they do one of those con jobs where, you know, somebody's got to get stretchered out so the cage comes up a little bit or the door opens, and then here's Wade Barrett dressed as a cameraman comes in the ring and attacks Cena. Or something. I mean, there are 1,000 ways to keep the belt on Sheamus, and it'd still be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in which case, you know, of the baby faces, I mean, Evan Bourne's getting his little push, and I could actually see them kind of dumping on him just a little bit in that he would win a Money in the Bank match, try to cash in his championship match, and then lose, and therefore you finally have the first loser, you know, of the money, which would stink.
All of us keep on throwing out that idea. We're like, oh, this has got to be the first. Like, I think we said that Jack Swagger was going to be the first guy to lose. Like, man, they haven't been pushing this schmuck at all. There's no way he's going to win it a week after WrestleMania. He fucking wins the belt on SmackDown.
Yeah, thanks for the curveball, WWE. Jesus. Yeah, of the baby faces, though, John Morrison is not ready for the world title. They haven't done anything with him character-wise in the last 6 months. R-Truth has gotten a lot of face time, and he was the U.S. champ, but he is not world title material. Evan Bourne is on the verge of it, I think. I mean, he's managed to skyrocket in a very short amount of time. Plus, he's John Cena's pet project, as Cena called him. Randy Orton and Edge are doing their own thing. They don't need a belt to feud over. So I would be okay if Evan Bourne won. I look for The Miz, you know, maybe to squeeze one out. I think that'd be awesome if The Miz won the Money in the Bank match. He's ready. He's beyond ready. He's just as ready as Sheamus is, and I'm okay with Sheamus being the champion. I would be just as okay with Miz being the champion.
I can't really disagree with that. Yeah, because now that you kind of run through the faces there, yeah, if Edge and Randy Orton kind of cancel each other out, you're almost left with Jericho, Miz, and seriously, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. No doubt. There's no way. But yeah, the other thing, so Edge and Rob Zombie's conversation, especially over the theme music, what'd you make of that?
That was more than strange, because I think Edge was live, but I'm not completely positive.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes. He could have been, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. Like, oh, I dumped your music. No, I took my music away from you. It's just like, ugh. Sissy fight.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. I like the fact that it seems like Edge is a Rob Zombie fan, though, because he kept calling him, like, Astro Creep and Super Beast or whatever other nicknames he goes by. I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's kind of cool. I mean, I like zombie stuff, so, I mean, it was kind of weird. Like, by the time I ended up watching it, I'm like, oh, he was only on the ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just that, I mean, now that they don't have any power, there isn't really much of a reason for a guest host.
No. There isn't.
You know,
you know what? If they, you know, find good talkers and have them introduce the main event, you know, be the ring announcer or something like that. Have them actually host something. I understand the term. Like, I don't know, on Saturday Night Live, the guest host stands on the stage, welcomes the crowd, and takes part in multiple skits. You know, have these people play, have them come out at the beginning of the show, shit, and welcome everybody and introduce them, and, you know, interview somebody. Do ring announcements for the last match. you know, if you feel like putting a live microphone in front of somebody for 10 minutes, we'll have them do commentary. That could be fucking disastrous, or it could be awesome. Who knows?
Yeah, well, it couldn't be any worse than the segments that they stick these people in most of the time anyway.
Yeah, with the Bella Twins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, any guy has the Bella Twins, and it's, well, and then it's still just not even funny. Like, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when it was the A-Team. The next mm-hmm. day, or 2 days later, Rampage was on Opie and Anthony, and I was rolling.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
he
right.
was just being himself.
Yeah.
It's just like, how do you screw up a guy with that much charisma?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. So it's just like, yeah, like, even when they do put them in segments, it's just kind of like they murder them enough. It's just like, no, these people are famous, more famous than any of your stars for a reason.
Yep.
Just let them do what they normally do.
Yeah, because whatever they're normally doing works for them.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
So, they really could have talked more about it, because, I mean, I think Zombie's music's been used by more than just Edge, too. Like, even have the guy go through his history of who has used his music, you know, just kind of, like, intertwine it a little bit more to your product.
Sure.
You know, especially with someone that obvious. Like, if you brought out Kid Rock, it's like, oh, The Undertaker's used my music, this guy's used my music, like... Guys like that, they kind of have a built-in thing that they can mention.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be nice for historical sake for some of these younger fans to realize that, oh, WWE really does, you know, entrench themselves in pop culture. They're just as much they use it just as much as they're a part of it. I don't know. Yeah, it would make everybody look better if that were the case, and it would give the guest host something more to do. Speaking of something to do, they gave Mark Henry something to do for 3 minutes. He lost to Sheamus. Thoughts on that match?
Yeah, that was one where my buddy's over here, and I'm like, yeah, Sheamus is not a small dude. Like,
yeah.
And Mark Henry makes him look tiny. Like, I don't care. Like, because I was even saying to him, like, whatever, if they pump the weights up a little bit, whatever, like, Sheamus has still got to be at least probably something like 250 or something stupid like that.
Sure, oh, I'm sure.
He is a big dude. And, I would not want to run into him and cause problems with him.
No, I'd buy him a drink. And since he's Irish, I'd buy him 12.
Yeah. So, and to have someone like Mark Henry, who isn't all that much taller than him, kind of dwarf him in size, it's just like, God damn, man.
Yeah. And it spoke well for Sheamus. I mean, at this point, we should be taking Sheamus seriously enough where we're not surprised that he beat Mark Henry. But it's good to see him just get a good, you know, clean 3-minute win over somebody. And it happened to be Mark Henry.
Agreed.
The
only
thing negative
kind of in that Kane area. Well,
yeah, he is long-term. Oh, no, you're right, though. Long-term WWE veteran. Plenty of wins, plenty of history under his belt, and now he can be used in this position to put guys over.
Yep.
I will say the only negative thing, yes, Sheamus does need some more wins under his belt. I'll go back to Hulk Hogan. You probably would not have seen Hulk Hogan beat... Oh, how far down the card can I go? Paul Roma. You wouldn't have seen Hulk Hogan beat Paul Roma on Superstars. So they certainly aren't saving Sheamus for their marquee matchups. They're okay with putting him on free TV in an afterthought.
Yeah, and as you point out, he can kind of use the wins. So have him beat somebody like Mark Henry so, you know, that it's not that big of a deal. It's, you know, a bigger guy that... Yeah, you know, because what, he beat Evan Bourne once or twice on free TV, so it's kind of like, outside of Bourne's push, it's like, okay, he's a smaller guy. Like, when you have someone in there that's closer to or bigger than, you know, the bad guy, it always is useful to me.
Yep, definitely. Oh, let's see, the next segment, not technically segment, the next part of this segment. The Nexus group, minus Wade Barrett, was backstage. and Josh Matthews drove the point home that they were not allowed to touch any WWE superstars, lest they be terminated, and WWE superstars were not allowed to touch them, lest they be suspended. So Skip Sheffield walks off camera and then punches a production assistant. I don't know. What do you think? It's a forwarding of the angle, I guess, right?
Yeah, and a little bit of foreshadowing, and it was just kind of amusing to see Josh Matthews do the old Blair Witch Project, where it looked like he went and stood in the corner and waited to be raped and or killed.
Yeah, just as the film ran out, or as they went to commercial.
Yep.
And it was foreshadowing, because as soon as Ricky Steamboat hit the ring, I'm like, oh, fuck, they're going to attack him. That's awesome. And then more of the old men came out. And then I'm like, oh, sweet, they're all going to get beat up.
Yep, I was too busy informing Sean of, I don't think you'd known Dean Malenko at all. So, there was some of that going on. So I did not actually have the time to think to myself, oh, they're going to get beat up. But, fine segment. We already pointed out the whole group beatdown. I kind of liked how, and before we get away from the group, getting away from the group beatdowns, I liked how they were kind of like jackals, where they were kind of nipping at the ring, and they just kind of grabbed one guy at a time. And when they finally got, because there were five of them in there to start with, so they grabbed two guys, and then when they're, okay, those guys are out of commission, let's go ahead and go for the last three here, and, they kind of went into the ring at that point even a bit cautiously. Like, I thought that was really kind of well done, how they kind of picked off the weakest in the herd.
yeah, I liked it. No, I think it did a good job of, I know those old men don't need to be put over anymore, and they're the ones putting these guys over. I think everybody actually looked good coming out of this, Jerry Lawler was at least on his feet when they came back from commercial. He wasn't obviously able to come back to do commentary because he was too hurt. But, you're getting one guy carried out on a stretcher. You're getting the NXT guys who are still running in a pack, and it still makes sense. I mean, these other guys are old, but they are veteran wrestlers who, maybe it makes sense to try to grab one of them by the feet, have two or three of you pull them out of the ring, thin out their numbers. It's strategic. Plus, they didn't have their leader with them, so they just kind of had to do what they had to do. I thought it was effective. I thought it was a nice little, twist in the story. You got to have a fork in the road every once in a while, and that's, I think, what this was.
Agreed.
Yep.
Really, the strangest thing about that segment was something that I think we should, I don't know, are we going to break out of Raw commentary for a moment?
Sure.
Which is Wade Barrett having his visa worked on.
Right, yeah.
Which,
and he is not the only one. Well, I'll tell you what, we can fast forward through the rest of this shit. Alicia Fox and Maryse beat Eve and Gail Kim. So what?
Yep. Hot women in the ring. Good.
Yep. Eight-man mega match went 15 minutes. What'd you think of that match as a show finisher, as a headline match?
It was the only match, and we did kind of mention this. It was the only match worth anything.
Yes.
And I think they got just about everyone without just doing a whole that, because they didn't do everybody hits their finisher kind of a moment, did they?
They, maybe two of them hit their finisher after the match was over.
Right, yeah, but they didn't have that typical, twist of fate, somebody hits the diamond, Randy Orton hits the RKO, I shouldn't even
say that. Booker T hits an axe kick, and fucking Nikolai Volkoff hits a backbreaker. Yeah. it was like rapid-fire succession.
They didn't have that segment, which is kind of nice. Like, it's like, ooh, this feels kind of fun.
Yeah.
But, they did, everybody got in a little bit of offense. Morrison got some in he had an injury, which is why he wasn't on TV that much.
Yeah, he's
I
back
believe.
From his ankle injury, and yeah, that's, I mean, that's the primary reason his character hasn't gotten a lot of push, but, you know, shit,
right.
For a guy with a DVD out and, you know, who's capable of maybe cutting a pre-tape promo, you never hear a goddamn word out of this guy. Like, don't they trust him with a microphone? Maybe I'm missing something,
is,
I don't know, but I never hear from him.
Yeah, I don't know why he isn't trusting the microphone. I think he does pretty well, especially since they make him stay in that goofy John Morrison, nobody can really pull this horse shit off aside from John Morrison kind of promo land.
Yeah. So, that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. Overall thoughts on the show, Kevin?
You know what? For as fast as I mowed through that thing, it wasn't that bad of a show. Like, it wasn't very newsworthy. There's a lot of yapping. What, they have another 2 or 3 weeks until the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So, they have time to build up. It's kind of a good time for one of those shows that nothing much was going on.
Yeah,
you know,
well, and again...
You set up the 8 guys, you move Nexus along without their leader,
yep.
You know, as well as you could. You set up a tag team match eventually at some point.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, how can you kind of, you might have put together another tag team. I mean, the events may not have been great, but, it was moving along.
Yeah. Yeah, they, as far as I'm concerned, it was a good show in that they put a twist into their main angle. We didn't have to see John Cena wrestle. I don't mean that in a negative way about him. I mean in a save him for a money drawing scenario way. Your world champion who needs a victory gets a victory. And you're finished with an 8-man tag. I never have a problem with a good 8-man tag. And it features all the guys who are going to main event the next pay-per-view. So, good show. Definitely light on the wrestling, but, it served its purpose.
Yep.
Well, let's see. Can we do just a few minutes on each of these other things? And then, because we're pretty much at the time, I think. you mentioned Wade Barrett, and he's having his work visa problems. It's been reported that both he and Drew McIntyre are working their way through some work visa problems. Let's see. I'm going to read this very quickly. If you're a VIP forum member of PIA, what the fuck is this thing called? Oh, that's right. Something I've subscribed to for fucking 14 years. PWTorch.com. In the VIP forum, member Kazzie K from somewhere in Europe had this to say. Well, I'm not going to quote the post because I can't find it. Something about had the United States been a member of the European Union, then these two wouldn't have had those problems. I sent him a message. I was like, I know nothing whatsoever about the European Union. Can you elaborate on what you're talking about? And he did say, I was actually joking, but in the EU, there is total freedom of movement for workers between countries, so you don't need to have visas. If the U.S. joined, then obviously Drew and Wade wouldn't need it. Of course, the U.S. will never join the EU, as you'd be ceding too much power, and the American people would never, ever go for it. Wade and Drew just need to get work visas or work permits for America. All they need to do is leave the country until they can re-enter on their new visa. I'm sure they're having a nice holiday at home visiting their family until WWE, which I imagine is a fairly influential company and can pull all sorts of strings behind the scenes, sorts out their visas, and they'll be right back on TV before you know it. So anyway, what do you make of this? I mean, it's all politics and it's shit that I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I had one example. Like, I don't know if people are busting the WWE's chops. Like, I thought that I heard some people like, oh, it should have been done earlier. They're all the time in spring training and baseball, it's just like, oh, shit, Jose from fucking Venezuela doesn't have his work visa worked out yet. It's just like, okay, you know, he's going to be late in spring training for a couple of days.
This is a terrible timing for you to have turned your head, Kevin, because I think you were about to shed some serious light on this subject. And you started breaking up. So, Jose from Venezuela is going to be late for a couple of days. But I'm assuming you're saying it turned out to be no big deal.
Yeah, no, it seems to be no big deal. And, I mean, I thought about this, too, is that it happens in hockey sometimes when they get, if they're a Canadian and they're on actually one of the whole, like, 5 Canadian teams.
Yeah.
sometimes getting the visa for the US is a bit harder. Oh shit, one of the Russian players actually got traded from a Canadian team to the Penguins this year. They had he had to sit out one game and then he was back.
Okay.
So whatever, it'll get worked out. It's not that big of a deal. Like I don't think they really, at least from hearing those types of things, like I don't know if they really could have worked on it any earlier. And
Right.
plus they end up having to take time off at some point or another, so they were probably just trying to get these storylines through, and
Sure.
that's why they waited until the last minute to work on this stuff.
Sure, that's true. Well, the other thing that bugs me about it is that you just hear about it every once in a while. Like, it happened to Angelina Love. It happened to Claudio Castagnoli. I'm like, if they're not careful, this might happen to the wrong person at the wrong time. Like, I don't know if Sheamus is an American citizen, but he's the WWE champion. You know, what happens if we're without him for a couple of weeks or however amount of time? Or, you know, this Alberto Del Rio, the former Dos Caras, you know.
Yeah.
He's maybe scheduled to make his debut, and he's got some paperwork problems. Or Yoshitatsu might have, you know, be the next Evan Bourne, and he needs to update his work visa. Or fucking Matt Hardy from the foreign country of Cameron, North Carolina. You know, maybe he needs his papers. Who the fuck knows? So anyway, I say if it can
Yeah.
be taken care of early, it probably should be, and don't just, you know, lollygag on this stuff. Or if not, you
Yeah.
know, then there you go.
It was shit, there's something else that that hit me that I'd oh fuck. Oh well, whatever. I can't remember what the hell it was. I swear it was one of the names that you brought up that
That I
that
just
triggered
mentioned.
something, but it's already gone through my skull.
Okay. Oh, that's all right. Claudio forgives you. Not Claudio.
No. Whatever. Oh, no. That's what I was gonna say. Is that w at least with McIntyre, they worked it well into the storyline.
Yeah,
Like
very true.
they actually said, "Hey, this fuckhead doesn't have his visa right. See you later. Go get him, INS." So that was fine. It was really weird that with Wade Barrett is they didn't even say anything on TV. It was just like, oh, okay.
Right.
And well, and kind of going back on the sometimes they're just problems. Maybe they honestly should have thought of that before. Well, they couldn't have really done that with how quickly they ran the angle after NXT. Like, I don't know how far ahead of time they thought about it. But like he couldn't really take any time off during NXT, and they've pretty much been going nonstop with this angle, and he's obviously been in the middle of it. Yeah, maybe he just didn't have the time to go back.
Sure. The whole thing's a big mess that I don't understand. Basically, is what I'm getting at.
Right.
Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's skip ahead of a couple things. Actually, one big thing that I had on my list might turn into a separate audio for another time. So two other quick notes. Velvet Sky signs a long-term deal with TNA. Good. She's hot. She has big tits, and she likes to rub her vagina on the second rope.
Yep. It's just another one. It's just they've done such a piss poor job with that group. It was kind of cool to see Madison Rayne stepping it up a little bit this past week,
Yeah, take
without getting
leadership.
into too much of the TNA stuff, since Jeremy and I w are torturing ourselves and watching it again, and actually going to do a preview for their pay-per-view this coming weekend. Which,
Yeah.
yeah, brilliant time to have a fucking pay-per-view on the 4th of July, you
Yeah,
jackasses.
fucking idiot.
But
Unbelievable.
anywho, yeah, whatever. She can't really wrestle, but she's hot, and they put her on TV.
Yep.
Good for her.
Decent character, smoking hot. That's all I really need. And she's usually in the highest rated segment on the show. It would have been stupid to not bring her back. Oh, Percy Watson is on NXT right now.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know. We're going over.
No, not that.
Oh.
I'm sitting here going, oh, I wonder if something should be taping right now.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, my cable company has ceased to list NXT as a new program.
Huh. All
Because
right.
I was sitting here watching the Pirates lose to the fucking Cubs.
Yeah. I'm going to do my best not to have dead air here, but I've got to hear what Percy has to say.
Oh, okay. Well then, what the
Well,
fuck? Oh, Velvet Sky.
yeah.
What could I feel? Oh, okay. The count is 2-2. Top of the eighth. The guy on first. My boy Andrew McCutchen up to bat. And yeah, it's 2-2. Let's see. And the pitch. Oh,
Hey, here's a
and right
question.
at the second baseman for a double play.
Here's a question, though. Are any of them 4-4 right now? You have a
Me?
better batting average. Yeah, no, I'd say, are any of them 4-4 right now? Or four
No.
for four. Okay, they're about to go to commercial here. Last topic I wanted to bring up. Thank you for the play-by-play, by the way.
You're welcome.
Finally, Undertaker and Michelle McCool pull the trigger and get married this last weekend. Oh boy, if Michelle McCool was insufferable before, how bad is she gonna be now?
Just terrible. Like she is guaranteed to not have to develop her character in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And yeah, like even though I admit that they're kind of doing their characters well, their characters are still like annoying in that way that isn't really good.
Yeah, the beautiful people do it well. I know the comparison gets made every single week, but they do it well. At least Angelina and Velvet did it great. Velvet,
Well,
Madison Rayne, and Lacey do it okay. Michelle McCool and Layla suck. They're too teeny
the other
bopper.
thing, the other thing that they have a problem with is they're like, they're ripping on Kelly Kelly, and I'm like, she's hotter than arguably both of you. Like,
Oh,
whatever.
I, yeah.
If you like Kelly Kelly over Layla, you know, have at it. Some people might go the other way around, which is just peachy also, but
All right.
just like, you know, like you're trying to rip on someone who's pretty goddamn hot. Like with the beautiful people, when you're ripping on what's ODB, like how, I mean, that's like shooting fish in a barrel, but it also helps the gimmick, you know. And what they're making fun of Rosa Mendez, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, aside from the fact that she doesn't have much of an ass, she's still pretty goddamn hot.
Yep.
So it's kind of
So
like,
yeah.
wow. And even like to her, like I think Roxy's pretty hot, but still, in comparison to either Kelly Kelly or Rosa, like she's not that terribly good looking. Like, you know, if you're kind of going on a barometer here.
Sure. Yeah,
So
that's
I
the
think
thing.
they have better
WWE.
people to make fun of too, which kind of helps out. The WWE has some, and what, Tiffany was their other object? It's just like, no, Tiffany is fucking smoking hot.
Yeah, no shit. Like that's kind of the what am I trying to say? The fundamental flaw with this whole thing is that WWE prides themselves on hiring only smoke dogs. So when you get two of them whose gimmick is to make fun of the looks of the other ones, even I mean the Mickie James thing was stupid. We can talk about that, but it's obvious. Stupid. She's fucking
Right.
hot. She'd probably munch a box on video if you wanted her to, for cheap. So, and now that they've rid themselves of all fat girls, that's probably what they think. This gimmick makes no sense at all. So,
No.
and yeah, because she's married to The Undertaker, yeah, it's gonna just get worse, I'm sure. The string bean, Michelle McCool, fuck, we're never gonna get rid of her.
Nope.
No.
We're screwed.
Yeah. Well, these people are gonna have to get rid of us, Kevin, I think, because it's about time to end this show, watch some NXT, post this biatch, and call it a night, right?
Sounds good to me. So, grandkids, it is time to grab a sippy time beer and celebrate a 4-for-4 loss, and maybe hopefully a come from behind Pirates victory. Have a good night.